ministry is God's gift, how else can we respond but with humble gratitude? Next consequence flows from this is we do not lose heart. Paul's response to God's call was courage to persevere. How else can we explain Paul's confidence in verses 7 to 17 that we'll look at next tomorrow, climaxing in verse 16 again with, we do not lose heart. It's not, as we'll see tomorrow, that Paul denies the problems and pain of ministry, but he clearly trusts that what began in God's mercy will continue by God's mercy. That's the first theological strand from Paul. The second strand is there again in verses 2 to 4. Notice again how, like John, Paul presents God's word as active through his ministers and messengers. Rather, we've renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of God, his image of God. Paul presents God's word as active, you see here, through his ministers and messengers, just like John. Paul is not incidental to God's work, he's essential to it. Of Paul, like John the Baptizer, it might be said, there was a man sent by God. Like John the Baptist, Paul bears witness to the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, we see in verse 4. He cooperates in a ministry of God's word to God's world. The high theology of verse 1 here is again matched by a full anthropology in verses 2 to 4, and indeed throughout this chapter. See how this imagery of light in these verses reaffirms God's choice of human agents to make his word visible. Now, two consequences again follow from this. In verse 2, integrity in ministry. Integrity in ministry. There's to be no deception or distortion of God's word. As we've seen before, the minister of God's word is called to live that word with integrity. For as Paul writes, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every person's conscience in the sight of God. As Richard Baxter once wrote, the most reverent preacher that speaks as if he saw the face of God doth more affect my heart, though with common words, than an irreverent man with the most exquisite preparation, integrity in ministry. The second consequence is this, and that's authority in ministry. Look at verses 3 to 4. Paul presents his hearers' response to his gospel as no less than a response to God's own word. For those who do not see spiritually, he says, have been blinded by the God of this age. It's an incredible thing to say. I mean, you need to be jolly careful in claiming that for every sermon of ours. We may be far more at fault at times than our hearers in making the gospel clear. But Paul's point is still valid. The minister of the gospel shares the authority of the gospel. That's our confidence when preaching. So to Paul, like John, all Christian ministry and thence the calling of a pastoral preacher continues through God's life and word, active in and through his ministers. The third strand is simply this. It's there in verse 5. We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. Like John again, Paul focuses his preaching on the life and work of Jesus. We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. Jesus is his message. He doesn't use the word gospel, as some do today, in a vague, elusive way. It is for him the essential good news that the Word became flesh in Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord. This is the heart of his preaching and his evangelism. It's not something he invents. He simply, clearly, and courageously conveys this living Word to a lost world. But notice the second half of verse 5. It takes us squarely back to the central theme of my first lecture, living truth. We preach, Paul declares, not only Jesus Christ as Lord, but ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Paul is the embodiment of the message he proclaims. He preaches a servant Lord by living a servant life. It's the same note of enfleshment of the gospel we see in John. Here is no disembodied wordiness nor distracting worldliness. Here is the life and truth of Jesus, both lived and preached, both for Jesus' sake and for the sake of others. So to Paul, like John, all Christian ministry, and thence the calling of the pastoral preacher, focuses on living and preaching the life and work of Jesus. The last strand is this. It's there in verse 6. For God said, let light shine out of darkness. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Notice how, again, like John, Paul speaks of God's life and work in the world. He sets the enlightening power of the gospel in the context of God's creation gift of life itself. The God who said, let light shine out of darkness, is the God who ordains light in the life of a soul and in the world he's made. Paul's vision, you see, encompasses the full spectrum of God's activity, from creation itself right down to the individual. For Paul, like John, God's word is light, and in Jesus, the light that enlightens every person has come into the world. We have here again, I believe, a clear biblical mandate for gospel proclamation that speaks God's light into every nook and cranny of our world. Like God's messianic grace, so God's messianic light gives light, sight to the blind, hope to the lost. So all may say with John, we have beheld his glory. As in John, so in Paul, as we've seen, John recognizes, and Paul recognizes, the power of this light to judge and expose darkness in our world. It's the light of the gospel that brings God's grace and God's truth to the world. As we saw before, the calling of a pastoral preacher is to bear witness, is to bear the light of God's gospel to every person in any place, to bring light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to bring to light the things now hidden and expose them to the judgment of God's truth, to bring to the light those who lead as blind guides a society like ours that's lost its way and needs God desperately. This is the calling of a pastoral preacher who grounds the ministry, as I've said, in the sovereign plan and mercy of God, who sees God active in the life and word he preaches, who focuses his living and his preaching on Jesus, who boldly speaks of God's life to God's world. May God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, cause his face to shine upon us and bless us as we live and work to bring this good news to God's world. Amen.